Sometime during the year, in Perth, Western Australia, can you go up a little? Trade microphones. Okay. Can you hear clearly? It sounds a little echoing. Okay. So in Perth, Western Australia, where I live, which is not a very rustic place, not a very spiritually saturated place, I was listening, actually not listening, I was reading through transcripts of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. And I found a transcript of a question that somebody asked Srila Prabhupada and his answer that really struck me deeply and actually ended up being the basis of what I wanted to present during this retreat. This was a lecture given in San Francisco in 1968. And the day of the lecture was Rasa Purnima, which has just passed, the first Purnima of Kartik and the last Purnima of Kartik are both Rasa Purnimas. So on one of those particular occasions, Srila Prabhupada was speaking and one young disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, "Could you please tell us something about Krishna's Rasa Leela?" 1968, Srila Prabhupada had no Srimad Bhagavatams, not even Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Nectar of Devotion, not Krishna book, nothing was published. So Srila Prabhupada was very fatherly and he replied. He said, "Krishna's Rasa Leela should not be discussed in public meeting. It is most confidential. Lord Chaitanya never discussed. He discussed Krishna's pastimes, leelas with gopis, with his confidential, very confidential circle. When he was in Navadvip, he did not discuss even with them what to speak of others. He set this example so that in future, people may be very cautious. Because unless one understands what is Krishna, how can one understand Krishna's pastimes? So this subject matter, Rasa Leela, is the summit of Krishna consciousness. It is not ordinary thing. They're purely spiritual, nothing material. But because we are not completely free from material concept of life, we may think that Krishna's leela is something like this material, and that is offense. But, said Srila Prabhupada, this is the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness, to understand Krishna's rasa leela. But you have to wait, he said. Just imagine these young, new disciples. But you have to wait for relishing Krishna's rasa leela to become a little more perfect in your Krishna consciousness. Anartha means when one is free from all anarthas. But it is so nice, that even those with anarthas, misgivings, if they are devotee, if they have got full surrender to Krishna, they will also derive benefit. Then Srila Prabhupada started telling to these devotees, and as I listened, I realized that actually they didn't know anything about Krishna, only what he was telling them. So he explained how Krishna was adopted child of Nanda Maharaj, how Vasudev replaced him with the daughter of Nanda Maharaj, and he explained how then he took the daughter of Yasoda and the daughter was given to Kamsa for killing. This is how Srila Prabhupada was very sweet. He said, "Just see, there is selfishness." He wanted to save his own son and wanted to kill Yasoda's daughter. Doesn't sound very nice. But then Prabhupada would laugh and he would say, "You see, this is not selfishness. We should not misunderstand." So here he is giving us an opportunity to look at this, as Maharaj was saying, from the external point of view. What a cruel thing to do. And then to explain to the devotees that no, this is not selfish. That daughter was not an ordinary girl. She was the material energy herself, Durga. So when Krishna took that child by the leg and wanted to, what is it called? Smash on the stone. That daughter slipped from his hand and appeared as Durga and said, "You fool, you want to kill me? The boy, the child who will kill you is already born. Don't try killing me. He's already born." So Prabhupada says, up to 16 years he was in Vrindavan. So here we see again, Srila Prabhupada has no particular concern for the exact details, but he's very much more interested in presenting the mood of Krishna's pastimes. Naturally, there were many children, boys and girls. They played together. So they were very... Krishna, everyone loved Krishna. Vrindavan means simply central figure is Krishna and everyone loves. So some of the girls, they loved Krishna. And a girl's loving means she wants Krishna as husband. So all the girls were married mostly, but Krishna was not married. And all the girls were so fond of Krishna. So from childhood they were friends. So Krishna used to play his flute and all the girls would come. So this Rasa Leela was performed on this day. The Krishna, in the full moonlight, he played his flute and the girls assembled and there was dance. There is similar dance, just like ball dance in your country. But the specific significance of this dance was that Krishna bifurcated himself in so many boys, as many boys as girls were there, and they all began to dance in pairs. Prabhupada finishes saying, this is the sum and substance of Rasa Leela. So you can see he's told this wonderful pastime that he has said, this is what Krishna consciousness is meant to help us to understand. He's told it in a way you would tell a story to a five-year-old. Once upon a time, there was this, there was that, and then they all lived happily ever after. So he continued. He says, so if you want to go to Vrindavan, and if you would like to dance with Krishna, then the facility is there for you. Because that is the ultimate goal of our life. If you want to love Krishna similarly as the gopis loved, you can have the chance. Or if you want to love Krishna as his cowherd boyfriends, that chance is also there. And if you want to love Krishna as child, that chance is also there. Any capacity, you try to love Krishna. Now Srila Prabhupada then spoke in Sanskrit part of verse 4.11 from Bhagavad Gita and he gave his own translation. Please listen. He said, anyone who worships me or loves me in any way, I am prepared to answer. He can answer. Just like Nrisingadev. Now here is a very interesting example of love. Because Hiranyakashipu wanted to love Krishna by becoming enemy, so he also answered as enemy. Krishna can answer us. He's answering us now. But he can answer us in a more wonderful way if the relationship that we want with him becomes purified, as Srila Prabhupada was encouraging. He continued to say, there are 12 kinds of reciprocal exchanges, 7 secondary, 5 primary. All of these are known as rasa. Rasas, rasa means rasa. Rasa means humor. All these humors are present even in this material world in different ways as perverted reflections of the spiritual rasa. Nothing can be new here, but here it is a reflection only. Now this is for me personally an ongoing theme or meditation that I take with me when I'm in Perth, Western Australia, which is a very un-rasic place, but which brings me back every year to the side of Giriraj, because I have understood only this, that this world is a reflection of that world. And therefore, I need to know about that world, otherwise I'll never be able to give up the reflected world. And a reflection compared to a reality is so deeply unsatisfying. Just imagine you place an orange here and you put a mirror there. And the orange is here, the reflected orange is there. What can you do with this orange? You go to touch it and you hit the glass of the mirror. You can't even handle it. But the orange is full of sweetness, it's full of rasa. But the reflected orange is just an impression, but you never get the taste. You can't capture it. So this world is like that, and Prabhupada is saying this to these young devotees. Nothing is new here, but here is a reflection only. Reality is there. So the five primary principles of loving affairs is there in the Vaikuntha world. And Krishna consciousness means to practice Krishna consciousness while we are in this material body. And after giving up this body, we enter into that spiritual realm for factually participating with Krishna. That is the Krishna consciousness movement. So if you want to enter into the Rasalila, he's now saying, after saying that the Rasalila is too confidential to speak about in a public assembly, he's now inviting his young, naive, innocent new disciples. If you would like to enter into the Rasalila, if you desire like that, so you just love Krishna in that way, as the gopis, and then you will have the same perfection. He says, there is no difficulty. It is not at all difficult. Simply, you have to practice. Then he laughed and he said, but you have to forget the Rasalila of this material world. Otherwise, there, this world, then it will play havoc. That risk is also there. Yes, Krishna is enjoying with so many girls, so let me also become Krishna, or let me become Radha, and I can enjoy. Then everything is finished, Srila Prabhupada said, and laughed again. So, when I heard or read this, what struck me was the words, he is prepared to answer. And I thought to myself, he's prepared to answer. That means he's prepared to answer you, he's prepared to answer me. What do I want? And how am I going to find out more about that realm of reality? These were the thoughts that were staying with me when I was thinking of preparing my Govardhan retreat presentation. So I chose this year to read some extracts from the Gopal Champu, and I actually adapted them a little bit because it's quite a complicated work, so I very much simplified them. And I wanted to read you something about what it is like to love Krishna as an enemy, or to love Krishna as a baby, or to love Krishna as a young boy would love him, or to love Krishna as a young girl would love him, and then to just hear about Krishna and what he loves. So every night we will share together, I hope everyone will come, we will share together a short reading from Gopal Champu on one of these particular pastimes. Please. Because we need some wonderful kirtan as well. So I was just talking to Maharaj and my husband, and they recommended that I tell you, share with you, a little experience that I had last year when I came to the Govardhan retreat. And actually, this experience for me was so profound that I still draw on it. And it was so, almost you could say, so totally inconsequential that I haven't really mentioned it to anyone. This is the nature of the intimacy of Giriraj. So there was one morning where I woke up and everything was not going my way. And I came to listen to the lecture and I was in such a disturbed state of mind about things that were not very important that I decided that I better go and chant my rounds. So I left the assembly of devotees and I walked out. We were in the garden next door. I walked down the road here and I more or less just felt like walking and walking and walking, and I didn't care where I ended up. And then I looked to the left and I saw just a narrow laneway. And I was always living in Vrindavan, very curious what was down the end of a little laneway. So I turned and I walked down the lane. And when I came to the end, there was an area where some building had been demolished. There was a temple, an old temple up above. There was a rough-looking half-made temple on the other side, a Hanuman temple, and a hand pump, and a big peepal tree. And so I sat on the stone underneath the peepal tree, and I was looking at some, there was some water just below, and I was looking at the water and chanting, and my mind was not peaceful. And then I looked out at the scenery around me, and I saw that it looked somewhat like a painting, an oil painting. Because the water went back into the horizon and there were small slopes of land coming down towards the water. And many ladies were sitting by the water and they had their sticks and they were just peacefully washing their clothes and talking to each other. And I saw one young man came with a stick like this, with two sides, a big pot on each side. And he came down to the side of the water and he filled one up and filled the other one up. And I was just watching this. And a family of pigs scampered all the way off into the distance. And a water buffalo came walking towards me. And there were dogs running here and there. And there were crows up in the tree and some parrots making noise and sitting around in the tree. And a man came and he started pumping the hand pump. And I realized I was in his property, and he paid no attention to me. I paid no attention to him. And he just walked around. He changed his clothes. He took some water. He took a bath very quietly beside me. He went around the other side, put some water on the Hanuman in the little half-made temple, offered a few prayers. Everything just went on all around me as if I wasn't sitting there. And then I looked up, and behind all the bushy trees and behind all of this was the peaks of our Giriraj. And I had this impression for a moment that he's nourishing everyone here. And he doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care if you're important, if you're not important, if you're an insignificant pig or a monkey or a dog or a donkey. He doesn't care. He's just giving his nourishment to everyone. And I felt so peaceful from that, that then I felt that that was actually the gift of the whole retreat for me. And I came back, and throughout the rest of the retreat, I kept remembering what it was like just to sit there under the peepal tree with all of these other persons and personalities and everything else going on, all just at the foot of Giriraj. So I wanted to tell this story because I wanted to give you all encouragement that Giriraj is very, very real and very nourishing. And even though your eyes, as Maharaj was explaining, may see just some rocks, and you might understand something, this is a holy place, but also within that, there is such a feeling from Giriraj of taking and giving shelter. So please, while you're here, feel free to pray to Giriraj, to sit under his shelter if you get a moment, and just to try to receive the aura of his blessings in your heart. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.